Yesterday, the 28th para was recited in the Tarawih Salat. We started with the Surah, Suratul Mujadilah. Here, law of Shariat is mentioned here. In the days of ignorance, if a husband told his wife that you are haram upon, you are like the back of my mother to me, that his wife would become haram upon him in the days of Jahiliyyat. So a woman by the name of Khawla binti Sa'lama, she comes to complain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says that my husband has made zihar with me, this is what he has told me, he has likened me to his mother. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until no clear instruction comes from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be haram on your husband. Your husband should not have anything to do with you. So she argued with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said my husband's purpose and his intentions was not to divorce, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she also pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what will happen of my children, that if I'm separated, they'll die hungry, and if they remain by the father, they'll become delinquent. So this will be a very difficult situation for me and my children. So she cries and sobs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the law which says that the woman doesn't become haram on husband indefinitely, rather the husband should pay kafara, he should atone for that whatever he had said, and that woman after the kafara will become halal for him. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen and the Jews, that they would make secret counsel, and they would speak in very soft tones and giving the impression that they are conniving and plotting against the Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا. So the secret counsel that the kuffar, the Yahud make, this is the whispering of shaitan, as a result of which they do this and they try to harm the Muslims, make them anxious and feel that the Jews are plotting against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they don't have any ability to cause any harm to you. You should put your trust completely in the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, it is not prohibited and wrong that in Muslims, if they have to discuss something in secret, it's something of importance and it has to be done secretly, there is no problem in that. وَتَنَاجَوْ بِالْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. So if they are speaking in council and it has to be done in private, there's all the room for that. Yes, in the riwayat it is mentioned that when three people are in a gathering, then for two people to separate themselves and speak secretly, this is prohibited, because it will give the impression that they are talking about me, or they maybe have something against me. So here it should not, if it's three people, two people should not separate and speak on their own. The next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the adab and the etiquette of a majlis. When there's a crowd and a majlis that is occurring and somebody came late and it is told that make space, then you should wholeheartedly make space for the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people that befriend people that harbor enmity towards Muslims, that connive and plot against Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is the trait of the believers, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. That they do not befriend, they do not make them their bosom friends, those people who oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are guilty of treason. That means they have opposed the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've gone completely off You won't find believers befriending them, going to bed with them, making them their bedfellows and becoming very close to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even though these people who oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to be their parents, their children, their brothers, their family people, they cut off all ties with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them four glad tidings. First, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes and strengthens the iman. Second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them with His unseen help. Third, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them Jannah, the beautiful Jannah wherein they will dwell forever. And the fourth glad tidings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. He has stamped His pleasure for those people who oppose these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards them as His group. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. The next surah is Surah Al-Hashr. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the situation where the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to Medina Sharif. Then there were Jewish tribes that were resident there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made pledges and pacts with them. And they pledged and they said that they will, in times of adversity and when they are attacked from the enemy side, then they will be siding with the believers, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But secretly they connive and make plans with the kuffar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed of that. And as a result of which, this one tribe that is known as the Banu Nadir, the Jewish tribe, they are banished from Medina Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in this ayat, in this surah. Another ayat that we should take cognizance of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives to you, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands you, then just like you take the command of Allah, equally important is the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to prohibit you, then you should refrain from that. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. This is a clear proof against those people who believe that besides the Qur'an, there is no other proof for the Shariat. So just as the Qur'an Sharif is a proof from which we get our direction, then the sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are also proof from which the Sharia is derived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Muhajireen and the Ansar. A salient feature of the Ansar is that they give preference to others over themselves. That means people that were completely strangers to them, but when they had left their homes for the sake of deen, they were exiled and forced to leave their homes, and they took refuge in Medina Sharif. The Ansar had the heart to make them their brothers. They made them share in their wealth to such an extent that they would say that we will work our orchards, we will work our business, but the profits will share with you. There will be no need for you to join us and help us bring it. You will remain free to serve the deen. We will see to your expenses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Ansar. He says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. So they may be suffering from hunger, starvation, but they give preference to others over themselves. The next part of that ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so when you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a remedy for the greed that lingers in your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person who is saved from the greed of his heart, then these alone are the successful people. So we have come to the Khanqah for this, that this, the remedies, the maladies that linger in our hearts. For example, love of dunya, greed, miserliness. So we learn now that this is something that has to be remedied, and we take measures to sort it out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Muhajireen and the Ansar, and he says that those people that come after them, they have respect and honor for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They make dua for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that, that those that come later on, they make dua, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So those people that have preceded us in iman, we like to forgive us, forgive them also, have shower them with your mercy also. So this is the way of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, that we hold the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the Muhajireen and Ansar, in high esteem. We do not revile and speak ill of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Rather, this is our take regarding the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen that plot against the Muslims. So outwardly they show themselves to be Muslims, but inside they kufr lurking in their hearts, and they connive and plot against the Muslims. They meet up with the Jewish cronies and they say that if you are banished from Medina, we will join you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is just empty talk. When it comes to the crunch, they're not gonna be of any help to anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ruku, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers and asks them to adopt taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next part of that ayat, it teaches us and tells us what will help us get that quality of taqwa. A person should think now what he has sent forth for tomorrow, that I have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. Have I sent anything forth for that? So when he lives this dunya, he keeps the akhirat in front, that will be a great help for him to live a life of taqwa, of righteousness, of piety, of abstaining from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Yesterday the Majlis Hazrat has mentioned the virtues of the three ayats, the last three ayats of Surah Hashr. They are mentioned here, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. Person will read morning and evening, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, three times, and then read these three ayats. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints 70,000 angels to be making dua and maghfirat for that person. So if he does it in the morning, the 70,000 angels do it for him till the evening. He does it in the evening, 70,000 angels do it till the morning for that person. The next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the believers, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. You should not take my friends and your friends as your friends. You should not take my enemies and your enemies as your friends. So the preamble for this surah, the revelation of the surah is this, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preparing for the conquest of Makkah, so conquest of Makkah had happened like this, that in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had signed a treaty with the Mushrikeen of Makkah, that for 10 years there will be no bad blood between us. We will live with peace. We won't interfere with you. You won't interfere with us. But not even 2 years pass, and the Mushrikeen of Makkah break that pledge. The allies break that pledge, and the allies of the Muslims are assassinated and killed in the Kaaba Sharif. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam plans to make an lay siege on Makkah. So he's preparing for this, and he wanted that this preparation should remain a secret, and we should take the people of Makkah by surprise. One Sahabi by the name of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah. So he was an outsider living in Makkah. He had no family in Makkah. He was a sincere and a genuine Muslim, but he just said that if I inform the Mushrikeen that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has plans to attack you, then they will take me into consideration, and my family and my property that I have left in Makkah, they will protect that and safeguard that. They will regard my ihsan and my favor that I've done to them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed of this, and the letter that he has sent via a woman, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to intercept that woman. That woman denies it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, if you don't, then we'll strip you, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's word can never be wrong. You are carrying a letter. So she herself takes this letter out, in which Hazrat Hatib is writing to the people of Makkah. So Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to, addresses the mu'mineen, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding the sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that don't speak bad about him, because he's a Badri sahabi, he's a person who had taken part in Badr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has overlooked the mistakes. So no person has got the right to speak ill of any sahabi. In the next ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about relationships with non-Muslims. So we are living in a country where we are many times we have to interact with unbelievers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are two categories of disbelievers. There are those that don't fight with you. They are not instrumental in banishing you from your country. So for these type of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not prohibit you to be polite to them, to treat them with justice. So on the one hand, we said that you won't make them your bedfellows, that they are, you won't make them your bosom friends. You take them and tell them the things of your heart and make them very close to you. On the other hand, this is the fine line that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws, that you should treat them with justice. On the other hand, you have those type of kuffar that leave no stone unturned in opposing you. They want to fight with you. They want to banish you. These people, you should have nothing to do with them. In the next surah is Surah Saf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the kuffar. They attempt to extinguish the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they will speak their kufr, they will spread their rumors, they will spread propaganda to undermine the interests of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to let the deen prevail. So the deen will prevail and it will always be dominant. In the time of Khairul Qurun, in power also, in strength also, the deen prevailed, Islam prevailed. And in every era, with regard to its proofs, the deen of Islam prevails. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses the believers, that, O you believers, should I not show you a business which will save you from the everlasting punishment of Jahannam? What is that business? Bringing iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your wealth and with yourselves. Making jihad will include all types of effort that a person makes with his wealth and with his being for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises in maghfirat for them and entry into jannat for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of us, all believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should become the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Becoming the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mean that all the causes of deen, all the efforts of deen, we should take part in it, we should help in it, we should see how we can also share in the work of deen. The next surah is Suratul Jumu'ah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to a person who has the knowledge of deen but does not practice upon it. Initially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Yahud, who have the knowledge of the Torah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming has been prophesied and mentioned, but they fail to take heed from it. They don't take heed from these verses which show the Nabi sallallahu the approach of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know that he is the true Nabi, but they don't practice upon it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people that have the knowledge of the Torah, but they do not act upon it. The example is that of a donkey who is loaded with a pile of books. It gives no benefit to the donkey. In the same way, they have the knowledge of Torah and they don't practice upon it. So this is also for us also, that whatever we have, whatever knowledge we have acquired, the purpose of that acquisition is that we should practice upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tells the Jews that you say that we are the favorites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the favorites, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُهُ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ, that we are the friends of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is favorite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, puts a challenge to them, that if you are true to your word, then the vehicle and the means through which you will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through death. And if you are the favorites of Allah, every person will desires to be joined with his favorite. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the challenge to them, فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. So they know they got nothing to look forward for, so you'll never find them hoping for death. And this challenge remains up to this day. Surah Jummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the instruction of Jummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the adhan for the salat of Jummah is given, then you should hasten towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should leave all trade. So it is makruh, it is prohibited, it is impermissible to indulge in any trade after the adhan has been given. Immediately a person should leave everything and hasten towards the Salatul Jumu'ah. After that, once the namaz is over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now spread out in the earth and seek from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means seek your sustenance after you have performed your salat. In the next surah, which is the Suratul Munafiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen, that they connive and plot and meet up with their cronies and plot how to undermine the cause of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the secret and shows the different plots that they have made, that let us make a plan to get rid of the muhajireen, the believers from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and get them out of Medina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that they will give false promises to say that they did not connive and did not plot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives evidence that the munafiqeen are lied in whatever they say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So your wealth and your children are a test for you, a trial for you. They should not make you oblivious and unmindful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your actual purpose of this worldly sojourn is to prepare for akhirat, to make your akhirat, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your children and your wealth should not come in the way of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that person who his wealth and his children make him neglectful of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the real losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers and he says, before that, whatever charity you can give, you should give, because when death comes about, a person will have this regret and he will say that, oh Allah, if only you give me a little bit longer life, then I will give charity and I will be from the pious people. So just like the kuffar will make this request, even the believers will make this request and say that give us a little of extra chance. So the opportunity to earn a reward is now before death. Once the time of death comes, then not a second a person will be spared. In the next surah, which is Surah At-Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَادِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, some wives and children, they are enemies to you, so you should be wary of them. So generally, it so happens that a person, because of his wife, or because of his children now, he gets into something that is unlawful, he doesn't strive like how he was supposed to strive, so they become stumbling blocks for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should be wary of that. But at the same time, you need your children around you, you need your wife. So if, perchance, if they happen to be spanners in the works, and they have been stumbling blocks for you, so you, as a true believer, you should overlook their shortcomings, and you should forgive them and guide them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your children and your wealth are a trial for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see that does be your children and wealth become a means of you going further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for the believers. He says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as you can manage. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The next surah is Surah Talaq. The laws of talaq are mentioned in detail. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some promises for those people that adopt a way of life that is filled with taqwa and righteousness and piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every difficulty, every problem, every form of adversity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out a way out for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop there. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him sustenance from places where he least expects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes arrangements for his sustenance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that person who puts his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for him. The last surah is Surah At-Tahrim. So here an incident had taken place in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives, obviously as wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, each one wanted the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. So it so happened that one of the wives, Hazrat Zainab binti Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had honey and she would make some drink for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit all his wives, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes would spend a little bit more time. On this occasion, he spent a little bit more time at the house of Zainab. And this happened for a few days. So as a few of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that, why is he spending more time at the house of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha? So they made a plan among themselves that we will say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has eaten from a certain jelly, which is in Arabic is known as maghafir. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this jelly doesn't have a very pleasant odor. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never wanted that a unpleasant odor would emanate from his mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very particular about that. He emphasized for the believers also to use the miswak, and no bad odor should be emanating from a person's mouth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I hadn't eaten from this jelly, but I have drunk some honey, some drink that is made with honey. So perhaps the bees that have extracted this honey had eaten from that plant from which this jelly is taken. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to please these parties, says that I make this drink haram upon me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this hukam, reveals this law, that it is necessary for you to free yourself from that oath that you have taken, and nothing that is halal, you should make it haram. And whatever plot that the Azwaj al-Mutahharat had made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should save yourself and your families from the fire of Jahannam. I mean, just as you wish the best in akhirah for yourself, you best in deen, you wish for your wives and children also. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. So this is a reminder to us that you don't only be concerned and worried about yourself. You do the ta'aleem at home, and you try and encourage your family and folks also to come to the path, onto the path of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know that you will falter, you will mistake, you will stumble. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. So turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sure to forgive you. In the concluding ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing example of kuffar. That sometimes it happens that the husband is a believer, and believer of the highest degree, like the example of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam. They are Nabi of the time. But in their own home, their wives fail to take heed of their message, and they remain on kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will dwell in Jahannam forever. And on the other hand, you have a woman who has all the odds against her. Husband is a kafir of the highest degree, but she brings iman, and she's strong in her iman. The example of that is given where Hazrat Asiya, who is the wife of Fir'aun, who has claimed divinity, that I am your most supreme Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to his wife. She becomes a mu'min, and she remains steadfast on that, notwithstanding that she is tortured, persecuted, but she remains steadfast on her deen.